Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Rage all you want.
Let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morenci. The pimps, the players, the hustlers, the people that bust them, and everybody else in between along for the ride. The Thursday night throwdown has begun as the NBA is back, and so is the madness as the New Orleans Pelicans blow a 16-point lead. And the Utah Jazz rally back for a two-point win. Rudy Gobert nails a couple of free throws. And the Utah Jazz cash a ticket, as do under bettors. Massive line movement as the game opened up in the 219 range. Ended up closing at 228.5 as the NBA picked up where it left off. An insane asylum. 844-843-6879. We're going to bang the pipelines tonight. We're also going to send it straight to the Strip. In Las Vegas at Nevada, another day, another canceled game in Major League Baseball. We now have four teams who are on the inactive list. Some through no fault of their own, but it is what it is. And you have to start to feel for the Toronto Blue Jays right now. They can't play in Toronto because everywhere else in the league is such a cesspool of disease. So they have to go on the road. Yet they go on the road, and the Philadelphia Phillies get taken down by a Florida Marlin team that went to a strip club. Are we keeping up here? And, oh, yeah, by the way, ding, 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 ding. By the way, Major League Baseball changed rules again today. They, you know, like honestly, we talked about this in the past. I'm the worst commissioner in the history of fantasy sports, yet I am a better commissioner than Rob Manfred. And I'll tell you what, the players are to blame on this, as we've heard that, yeah, it didn't take a lot of negotiating. This, you know, they ironed this proposal pretty quickly. And it is now, they're gonna, you know, any doubleheader that's played this year is going to be a seven-inning game. Why not five? You know, you already got the network's money. It's pretty clear. You got, you know, I've met drug dealers in the park who have more credibility than these dudes. You know, Mike Clevenger says, I don't like this rule, runner on second base. Well, bro, you're part of the Players Association. Stop it. You guys don't care. And this is a league that wanted an integrity fee. They need integrity. They get paid a fee for it. Sports Rage, late night. Vent your rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
I'm a rageaholic. I just can't live without rageahol.
Sports Rage Late Night. I'm Renzi. Vent your rage. 844-843-6879. We'll hit the pipelines a little bit later on as the NBA is back. And we had a couple of two-point basketball games, roller coaster basketball games, double-digit lead blown basketball games. And we've got a full slate of hoops on a Friday. So the NBA is back, and so is the Bad Beats. If you had the New Orleans Pelicans, they blew a 16-point lead this evening. The Los Angeles Lakers and the L.A. Clipper game was a strange one. It went back and forth. AD just took the game over, and the Lakers escaped with a 103-101 victory. So we got 106-104, 103-101. Theme of the night, deuces wild. Underdogs cover the point spreads, and both games go under the number. And a man that steps up and in right now loves overs and under, Mr. Teddy Covers. Teddy joins us. Las Vegas, Nevada in the house. Teddy, always a pleasure, my man. How you doing tonight?
RNC, what's the good word? How am I doing? I'm glad there's NBA back, but I didn't win any money at it. So, you know, I'm okay. It was a good... I enjoyed watching the games, but bad beat wise, did you really think that the Pelicans were not better than the Jazz in that game? Certainly not down the stretch. That wasn't a bad beat if you had New Orleans. I don't think it was a bad beat if you had the Lakers either, necessarily. You know, both games stayed under, and
the Pelicans were up by 16 points. You know, no lead is safe.
Yeah, I get dude.
It. Yeah, yeah. Most teams hang on to a 16-point lead, but the Pelicans are a young, raw team. They don't have a go-to guy. But don't tell me that a team blowing a 16-point lead. I get it. It's the NBA. I'm not saying the Lakers. You can't say the Lakers is a bad beat if you laid the points with the Lakers. Right? The Lakers are lucky to win a damn game, let alone try to cover the point spread tonight. But I would classify the Pelicans as a bad beat tonight, Teddy. I'll disagree. Disagreement number one. I say the Pelicans were a bad beat.
It's only just starting, if that's disagreement number one, my friend.
Yeah, let's bring it.
Let's differentiate, okay? A bad beat is when you had a clear right side that something weird happens at the end of the game and you lose it. There's a difference between a bad beat and a tough beat. A tough beat is... you're in control, and then you're not. You think you dominate for three quarters, you don't dominate the fourth. Bad beats require something happening that maybe you didn't foresee, yeah. Something that's really
an
unlucky.
An empty net goal with 0.1 seconds
that.
Left in a hot. No, I get it.
Utah was the better team on both ends of the floor for the entirety of the fourth quarter.
How about I put it this way?
Tough beat, maybe.
How about I put it this way? It sucked if you had the Pelicans. Is that a good way
of
putting it?
Yes, it did. It sucked if you had the over, too. You know, there were
how
portions
about that movement,
of that game
Teddy?
That were played.
How about the movement, Teddy? They got up to 228.5. Talk to me about that. Did you know, like, oh, God, this game is going to stay under? What did you think of that?
There were 229s out there. So I got 220.5 in my pocket. So I beat the closer by 8.5 points. And if you want, I mean, for extended stretches of that game, there was a frenetic pace where, you know, both teams were pushing, and the ball was flying up and down the court. Unfortunately, there were a lot of turnovers. There was the offensive continuity wasn't pretty, and neither team was hitting threes. And then it bogged down at the end of the fourth quarter, and that was that. But there was, from a pace standpoint, I wouldn't be surprised you see over money again, certainly the next time either one of these two teams plays, because, you know, all that money coming in on the over was sharp money, and it was based on the pace, and the pace of the game played out as they thought it would. The problem was the efficiency of the two offenses.
What do you say to people out there who are criticizing Gentry right now, that Zion wasn't on the court late and that he only played 15 minutes? And Teddy, I know, and like you, I am a big listen to what the coach says and read whatever you can get your hands on as far as quotes from players. And, you know, I see people flipping out about, oh, I can't believe Zion wasn't on the floor, and, you know, what a disgrace. And I told people on Game Time Decisions before the show started, I quoted them, we're not going to do anything crazy and risk the future. We have a bright future. Yeah, we want to make the playoffs, but we're not doing anything crazy. So I expected him to be on a a restricted minutes, as far as the rotation was concerned. But what do you make of that? Should he have been on the court late? I mean, he didn't play in any of their games leading into this. I'm not as freaked out that Zion wasn't on the court late as others were.
I mean, so he came in the first half and was instant offense. And then he sat and sat and sat. And then he came in at the start of the fourth. And, I mean, he looked completely lost. You know, I know he hit that one shot the first time he got the ball in the fourth quarter where he made a move and just powered it up. But after that one shot, both ends, he looked, he wasn't in sync with the rest of the team. It was very clear he hadn't practiced with the team. It was very clear that he needed more time to acclimate. And again, in the 15 minutes he played, he was a Pelicans' worst minus 16 on the floor. I understand he put up some offensive, he put up a couple of points in the first half, but there's no way you want Zion. If I was Alvin Gentry, I'd have done the exact same thing. He wasn't ready for crunch time minutes tonight. And the people that are criticizing him, you know, they're whatever. Fans do what fans do. I want to see Zion. You know, all right, he'll get there. He wasn't there tonight.
Yeah, I could not agree with you more on this. He was a defensive liability. He was getting exposed. It was a problem. He wasn't part of the flow of the offense. And they, you know, the chemistry wasn't there. I totally understood. I would have given him a little bit more than 15. I think he could have handled a little bit more than 15, but I can't argue, as you stated. I mean, he was a minus 16, plus minus 16 when he was on the floor. You know, that's what ESPN and Twitter and short attention spans have done, in which, you know, people think that a couple of dunks are going to win a basketball game in crunch time against the Utah Jazz. It doesn't work that way, Teddy, as you know.
No, I mean, Rudy Gobert won that game. Rudy Gobert's defense was the difference for Utah. You know, and I watched that game like a hawk. So that's my two cents. I mean, Gobert was brilliant defensively and down the stretch, and he affected a bunch of Pelicans' possessions. You know, that's why their offense went cold in the fourth quarter.
Teddy Covers, a.k.a. Ted Savransky, joining us from Las Vegas, sportsmemo.com. So, Teddy, Lakers and Clippers, you know, you get the feeling, man, these guys can play 20 games, and every one of these games is going to come down to the wire. Any takeaways from the Lakers and Clippers game this evening?
And again, it was sloppy basketball. It looked a little bit, I mean, I'm not going to say it looked like a preseason game. The scrimmages were even rougher than this. But I will say that, first of all, I was like Kawhi and Paul George, man, that combo is really good. And there's nothing in the Clippers' loss made me think any less of the Clippers, you know, once they get their bench back. But, you know, Anthony Davis took over the game, and he's capable of doing that. obviously. And I was really interested to see J.R. Smith didn't get as much playing time as I thought he would. Deion Waiters came in and was jacking up shots right away.
Waiters is
good. I was interested to see the Lakers' backcourt. But, you know, it's going to be a work in progress for a lot of these teams. Certainly these first few games, Gabe, not key for them in terms of their overall championship hopes.
It's a great way of putting it, Teddy. It might be overly important to you because your money's on it and the NBA is back. But a great call, Teddy. It didn't even feel like an opening night game. Like an opening night game, the quality of play is better than it was tonight. The Pels-Jazz game had an intensity to it. The Lakers-Clippers felt like an exhibition game. Sports Rage Late Night continues.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Rage it up. Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci. Rage all you want.
My name's Bobby and I am an addict.
Hey, Bobby.
Hi, Bobby.
You know, you folks aren't here because you're gamblers. You are here because you are terrible gamblers.
Hey, Bobby.
These folks don't need to stop doing what they're doing. They just need to get better at it.
All right, Sports Rage, late night. I am Morenci. Teddy Covers joining us straight from the Strip in Las Vegas, Nevada. Our chat is banging here this evening. And shout out to our boy Paco, Paco Healy in San Diego. And, man, the NBA is back, Teddy. And Paco's like, can you ask Teddy what he thinks about Brady Hulk at San Diego State? I'm like, dude, we got a full slate of NBA games on Friday morning. And this guy's asking about the San Diego State Aztec. Are they even playing? But since I love Paco, great guy. We met him before in Vegas. You have too. I believe it was the IFBC, actually. And I said, all right. And he said, all right. He knows that, we're Wolverines, Teddy. So he goes, I got to get your quick take on that. So I don't know. My quick take, Brady Hoke, he sucks. There's my quick take. Teddy, I'll tell you quickly, no joke. They can't get any better. It was a great program. You know, Long did a great job keeping this thing going and building it. I can't see it getting any better with Brady Hoke. I know he did well there the last time, okay, but I'm not buying. That's my quick take.
Yeah, Rocky Long leaves a legacy and a half. You know what I mean? Those are big shoes to fill. I wouldn't be shocked if the Michigan program was too big for Brady Hoke. San Diego State's about his size. I wouldn't be surprised if he has success. And there's
got to wear
a
headset
whole lot of
in Ann Arbor. You got to wear a headset in Ann Arbor, at least.
Well, I mean, being a successful head coach at a smaller school is not the same as being a successful head coach at a bigger school. Recruiting plays a huge role in both places, but a couple of key recruits at a smaller school, if you're lucky, and he didn't have a long run. You know, just a couple of years, but if you got the right guys in the right places, when you step in, it certainly goes a long way towards success. And it's not like the program is way down or anything. Yeah.
I always thought that way about Butch Jones. You know what I mean? Good coach, follow Brian Kelly. Hey, you're perfect for Central Michigan. You're not running to Tennessee Volunteers, bro. You know what I mean? Like, this is not going to end well, right? Like, no, you're a MAC coach. Embrace it. Go to bowl games. You know, get your free car from the car dealer and make your millions over the years. All right, so there's
look at Frank Solich. You know how long he's been, he took at Nebraska.
He's a hero.
Great spot for him. They're competitive.
Yeah, they go 8-4, and he gets a contract extension every year. Great job, coach.
Yeah,
yeah, man. Thanks for getting us on TV all the time. Right, like exactly, like you know the drill. All right, so let's get back to the NBA here. You know, Teddy, let's blast through the NBA games. I wanted to be, I wanted to be a renegade here and take the Brooklyn Nets. Man, looking at their roster, it's tough. I'm thinking maybe I just pull the trigger on a Caris LeVert prop over 24.5 points. I mean, we're talking about Michigan. You know, Caris LeVert can light the lamp, man. And, you know, he literally can drop 35, 40. You know, they got Joe Harris as well. You know, what's your take? That's the first game up, 2:30 Eastern. Magic laying 7. Is it too many points? What, you know, any opinion on this one? Or you want to move on to the next one?
Well, so I mean, I'm going to ask you conceptually, all right? And maybe can I bring another game into the mix? Because it feels to me like two of the games are like the same game.
The Wizards.
It's Orlando,
and the Suns,
Brooklyn,
right?
And Orlando's laying 7, and the Magic aren't a team I'm comfortable laying 7 with. And it's Phoenix, Washington, and Phoenix is also laying 7, and the Suns are, you know, and of the two ugly underdogs, I am much more attracted to the Wizards than I am to the Nets. But of those two favorites, I'm probably a little more attracted to Phoenix than I am to Orlando. Orlando's offense, we cannot trust that team to lay points during crunch time. You know, we can't. But Brooklyn, that's a D-League roster. Make no mistake about it. You know, they don't care.
I think the other way around. I think Washington is worse. I'm looking at Washington's roster. I'm like, dear God. Like, at least you got Joe Harris. Joe Harris is a good three-point shooter. At least you got Caris LeVert, who really will score 25, 30 points. All right? You know, Jamal Crawford, come on. He's going to be the sixth man. You have Jared Allen. At least you've got a couple of NBA players and NBA caliber players. Washington, man, that cupboard is bare, bro.
But let's not forget that Brooklyn also had a coaching change.
I know.
At least Washington's running the same system they've been running. It's the same guys. And never forget this about the NBA. You know, the last guy off the bench, if he gets his opportunity and he gets shots, he can score 30. You know, I don't look at them as a team bereft of talent. I look at them as a team that I don't know how they're going to score during crunch time. Against a good defense, but is that Phoenix?
Yeah,
I like the Wizards more than the Nets.
Yeah, tough to lay 7 with either of them. Tough to take 7 with either of them. That's a good way of putting it, isn't it? I think.
Well, I mean, look, we saw two dogs cover tonight. Both dogs cover tonight. We saw throughout the preseason scrimmages, but the dogs were barking. You know, if you say, all right, it's nothing but a coin flip in this game. Right now in the NBA, I have no hesitation taking the dog as opposed to the favorite on this neutral floor. You know, 7 points could be a mountain.
My own personal opinion is, call me crazy, I think Brooklyn can hang around. And if Phoenix are interested, you know, they can score. I think Washington could have a hard time keeping up with them. All right, Memphis and Portland. This is a more attractive game, something we can sink our teeth into a little bit more. So the Pelicans are trying to track down the Grizz. It's really not the end of the world for them. They only have to get to within 4 games. So they drop a half a game here. The Grizzlies are a trendy pick tomorrow, yet the Blazers are also a trendy pick. People talking about what Damian Lillard can do. I've always liked Collins. I think he's an underrated player, what he brings to the table for the team. So they're healthier, Nurkic, Collins, and people don't talk about McCollum either. Are Portland ready to flick this switch and sort of steal the spotlight from Zion and the Pelicans? You know, this little play-in is sort of tailor-made, right? Ooh, New Orleans, right? New Orleans. All right, is Portland ready to crash the party here? I'm starting to like the Blazers in this basketball game. What's your take?
I certainly wouldn't talk you at them. You know, I mean, if there's if there's a team from the bottom of the pack that can actually do something, it's the Blazers. You know, we know what the injuries they had. And then, you know, again, when you're bringing in Nurkic and Collins back to a team that was already solid, you know, they made the Western Conference Finals last year. You know, Portland's A game is about 5 or 10 points better than Memphis' A game. And if the Blazers bring it, they're going to win by margin and cover the point spread.
Teddy covers, kicking it with us. All right, so let's keep it rolling. Woo, Phoenix and Washington, ugly, tough, ugly and tough. There should be a quick tempo and pace to this one. I mean, remember when, Washington, Brooks has changed so much over the years, Teddy, but I remember, you know, before the year, he goes, listen, you know what, it's actually fun. We're just going to sort of bomb away. We got to sell tickets and try to fill, you know. He goes, they kind of knew they were going to lose. So it's like, well, let's at least lose in a fun manner. And it sort of freaked other teams out, Teddy, right? They're like, damn, man, Beal just takes like 38 threes a night. And sometimes it goes in. And suddenly they got a little mojo going playing like that. So I'm thinking now that they even have less talent. So what's he going to tell them? Loyola Marymount style? I want you to shoot a three within 3 seconds. Wherever you on the court, shoot, shoot, shoot. I don't know. Phoenix could run him out of the gym. But let's keep it rolling into Boston and Milwaukee. And I said earlier today about this game, I feel like let's not overthink it. People are saying, oh, Milwaukee have nothing to play for. You know, Boston are three and a half back of the Raptors. And, you know, Milwaukee are trying to tune up. And we saw even in these practice scrimmage exhibition games, whatever the hell you want to call them, you know, they were dropping 130 points, Teddy, 121, 130. It's clear that, you know, they're trying to dial things up. I don't think they're going to wait for 2 weeks to try to dial it up. I don't want to get in front of them. The price seems short, actually, to me. I know it's a neutral court. To me, and I don't know, maybe I'm a public mark here, but I'm thinking the Bucks any over, Teddy.
You're preaching the choir. I got Milwaukee in pocket. -4.5. Those are disappearing. It's moving up to 5. So that's even with Connaughton and Bledsoe out for the Bucks, but Milwaukee really is a different animal, you know, and you saw that even in those three little preseason scrimmages. Where from a depth perspective, from a team chemistry perspective, we're talking about as good as it gets in the NBA. And of course, apologies to whoever you want to call the second best player in the NBA. The Bucks also have the best player in the NBA, who was very hungry. Remember, they had the Raptors, the NBA champs, on the ropes, down 2-0 last May in the finals in the Eastern Conference, and then all of a sudden it got away from them. You know, a week later, they're out of the playoffs.
Also had them in overtime in Game 3.
I did not step in front of Milwaukee.
It actually went to overtime. People don't realize how close the Raptors came. They're just being crushed last year. You're exactly right. See, I don't want to get in front of this. I don't want to get in front of this either. You know, Pat Connaughton, as you mentioned, Notre Dame out, and Eric Bledsoe as well, up to 5 right now. We're going to be taking a break in a second here. We'll break down the rest of the board with Teddy Covers. We'll take a sneak peek, look ahead at Saturday's card as well. And you know what? It actually sets up nicely. And I look forward to your take on this. Whether the Lakers have an advantage playing on Saturday night against the Toronto Raptors, now they have a game under their belt, or because I thought the Raptors were being, you know, the Raptors are never respected. So, you know, we're going to get 4, 4.5, maybe 5 points with the defending champs. Teddy's take on the other side. Sports Rage Late Night continues.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Rage it up. Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci. Rage all you want.
Sports Rage Late Night. I'm Renzi. We're kicking it with SportsMemo.com's Eddie Covers. The NBA is back. And ironically enough, we had two games on the board tonight, and both games ended up at two-point games. 106-104, Utah Jazz victorious against the Pelicans, and the Lakers win 103-101 in a very strange basketball game that went back and forth. And then the Lakers took over late, and the Clippers nearly came back late. A lot of drama. Was it a pretty game? It was close. And, you know, you sort of got the feeling like, sort of like, you know, like you said, Teddy, didn't have the full intensity. I'll put it in like wrestling terms. Sort of felt like a wrestling match, but I'll see you at WrestleMania in 3 weeks when it's for real. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was sort of like they were wrestling,
yeah.
You know, hitting each other over chairs, but it's like, no, the big match is in 2 months. You know what I mean? This is sort of a buildup. Like, they're, and I'll see you like August 18th, Houston, Texas. Right, it sort of had that feel, Teddy. I mean, it's real, but it's not real, you know.
So, and that's a fantastic analogy. It's a perfect analogy because it's not like they weren't competing. They're competing. They're out there. They're playing hard. And as soon as you get, you know, on a floor where you're going up against high quality opponents, the juice is flowing. But certainly amongst the better teams in the bubble, these games are meaningless. These games are about tuning up for a few weeks from now when the real games start and the quest for a championship begins. This is not about even wins and losses for teams like the Lakers or the Clippers. It's about tuning up, getting into gear, and prepping for, you know, playoff series, which are just, you know, just a few weeks away. So that's why this NBA restart, it is a little bit tricky. Because you do question the motivation for a lot of the favorites here, which may make the younger, hungrier teams better bets. We'll have to see.
And it's, you know, so let me ask you, we'll get back to the couple of games left on tomorrow night's card, but leads me into this. So the Lakers, you know, it's sort of the classic preseason NFL, isn't it, Teddy? It's sort of the same question. So does a team that played in the Hall of Fame game have an advantage? Generally, no, they don't. That's one thing I'll tell you just from my own experience. Nah, they really don't. The whole sort of the team played a game thing, I personally think it's overrated. I don't think it matters all that much, but I do agree with what you just stated, in which, I don't know, like the Raptors are the defending NBA champions. Like they, you know, the Raptors will be, they're on a collision course with the Milwaukee Bucks, and that's going to happen in late September. Right, what happens on August 1st isn't the end of the world to Kyle Lowry here, whether they win or lose this game against the LA Lakers. But at that being stated, I see the defending champion and a pretty damn good Raptor team still getting 4 points. They never get respect. They've had a great camp. They were actually the first team to get to Florida. They stayed at Florida Gulf Coast, Dunk City, first. They were there for like 10 days first. They couldn't technically practice together, but you know they did, etc. Raptors have good chemistry. What do you make of that, Teddy, that game? Is there an advantage, Raptors, Lakers? What do you make of it? 4-point spread right now.
Yeah, I'm going to be real reluctant to bet on a team that hasn't played against a team that's already played. I would. And, you know, you talk about, the coaches always say, you know, when do you make the biggest improvement between game one and game two? You know, so that's an old football adage that's very real. Yeah. In basketball, it's pretty real, too. So it's not like... there's no way I would take the Raptors. No way I would take the Lakers. It's not either one of those situations. But for me personally, all right, the teams that play tonight, you know, Utah's going to play OKC on Saturday. That's Utah or pass. Pelicans play the Clippers, so it doesn't matter. They both have the game under their belt. But this one with the Lakers and the Raptors, I could only take LA in that game because I do think it's meaningful to have a full game under your belt, especially how sloppy the Lakers were tonight. Now they got stuff to work on. You know, the Raptors haven't had that sloppy game so that, you know, Nurse can yell at them in practice yet. It's coming, but it hasn't happened yet.
Teddy Covers, a.k.a. Ted Savransky, kicking it with us from Las Vegas, Nevada, sportsmemo.com. Teddy, one team that nobody's talking about, negatively or positively, they just don't exist. The only time you ever hear about the San Antonio Spurs is when Greg Popovich talks about politics. So you have the San Antonio Spurs getting 3.5 points against the Sacramento Kings. Kings laying 3.5, total 219.5. They don't have LaMarcus Aldridge. I don't really don't get the feeling that the Spurs are in some desperation mode to try to crash the party and make the playoffs. They've got a steep hill to climb. You know, tricky game here, though. It's not like, you know, and no one's ever gotten rich betting on the Sacramento Kings, laying points with the Kings over the years. Any opinion on this one?
So it's not a strong opinion at all for this game. I'm not likely to be involved in it. It is worth noting. You talk about preseason football and then preseason NFL. You always look for those coaches' quotes, you know, that kind of give you a feel for what the game's going to look like in the fourth quarter when the coach is like, yeah, we're going to be evaluating our depth. He's not saying we're going to lose the game, but they certainly aren't a bet on team. And I've seen a good handful of quotes from Pop that make me not excited about the San Antonio side. And maybe it's me just reading between the lines, but it looks to me like the Spurs focus is on player development more than any other factor. They're not balls to the wall to try to make the playoffs for the 22nd or 23rd consecutive year.
I feel the same way. Pop, seems to be more involved actually in the election and activism right now. Aldridge is hurt. DeRozan. He just doesn't have the same hunger, it seems, Pop. You know what I mean? Like, the way they've handled their roster over the last couple of years, I don't care about, like, what he says, but just the actions. And DeRozan's not going to be back. And, you know, they all know that. He knows it. Like you said, it's not like, all right, guys, you know, it wasn't a great year. Let's dig down deep now, though. It's like, yeah, whatever. Let's get this over with. I think it's one of those deals with the – that's why no one's talking about him, right? Like, no one's like, how about the Spurs, right? Maybe the Spurs this. And it's like, no, you got DeMar DeRozan, you got Rudy Gay, all right? That's what's going on here. And they're both basically the same player.
They were super sloppy the first two scrimmages, and they looked much better in the third. But again, I mean, DeRozan, Aldridge, those are the names on the Spurs. But the real Spurs are your Patty Mills and your Brian Forbes and DeJounte Murray and Derek White. And, the guys who maybe aren't getting as – we don't know their names as well because they haven't won titles and they haven't been in a million playoff games. But, I mean, that's who's getting as much minutes as anyone else for San Antonio these days, certainly backcourt-wise. And as a backcourt, Mills and Murray and White had a pretty rough time in those preseason scrimmages.
They're done. That's a done. They're franchise. It's time for a turnover here. Like I said, if they were serious about winning, they go out. Go out and get a John Wall before he was hurt. Go out. They get mad at DeRozan and Aldridge for not carrying them. It's sort of like, wow, they're not stars. It's like, no one thinks these two are going to carry you. You got to give them a little help here. Like, you know what I mean? They're like, they're not the number one and number two. Like, you got to. I don't know, Pop, he's great, but when I look at that roster, I'm like, that's on you. All right, the high-profile game tomorrow night, and they put this one, nighttime, prime time, the Houston Rockets and the Dallas Mavericks. What's your take on this basketball game? The Dallas Mavericks, 1.5-point favorites, total pretty high at 229.5.
So I make the game pick 'em. At 1/1.5, it's not giving me a whole lot of leeway from a point spread perspective. So I'm going to, but it does have the feel of a game that someone's going to win by a bucket. At 229, and I understand that the pace is supposed to be fast, but as we saw tonight with the steam in that New Orleans Utah game, I'm not excited about betting over 229.5. In the first game back. I'm not convinced even for a team like Dallas, whose offensive flow was, second best in NBA history through the first 60-something games of the season. Even for a team like Dallas, I'm not convinced the flow is going to be there for the full 48 minutes, which has me thinking under if I was going to get involved here. And you know how much fun watching this game with an under bet would be? Not very. So
You feel like O.J. Simpson waiting for the verdict.
Less fun than watching two fast-paced teams, and then you got the under in your pocket, and you're just like, I hope they miss. I hope they miss. Miss, miss. Slow it down. Miss. Slow it down. Miss. You know, it's a tough sweat.
Still, one of my favorite memories ever was during the NCAA tournament a couple of years ago when we were all in Vegas, and Brian Blessing bet it over of a Virginia Cavalier.
Yeah,
NCAA.
They bet Virginia. Oh, dude, there was 36 points in that game with like 16 minutes at the first time out of the second half, and somehow it got over the total. I'm still mad about that, just to make fun of Blessing.
Yeah, me too. A Blessing. And that, don't worry, that's like his only win ever. Like, you know, that was his night of glory. We can't take it away from him. I hear what you're saying, though. You know, you need a clean ride, man, right out of the gate. Like, 229.5 is a regular season number. And that's a normal number. No. Like, the computer's spitting it out. And, you know, look, the last time they played, the total actually was 238, which is pretty crazy. Before that, it was 230. Then it was 221.5, 224, 218.5, 216, 212. It's amongst the highest totals, so they're pretty much putting it at regular season numbers here, Teddy. Like peak season, regular, everything is normal numbers.
Well, I mean, it's gotten bet up from the open. You know, nothing but over money. 225.5 at the open.
Public love the overs.
Both in Vegas and offshore.
Yeah, I'm kicking myself. I like the first quarter under in that Pelicans-Jazz game. All right, Teddy, we've only got about a minute or two left here. It's always a pleasure. But before we get you out of here, baseball, it's been a real circus, man. 1 week in, you know, we have four teams scratched coming through the weekend right now. But without being stated, there are still games being played. What's your take on baseball, or has basketball taken your attention tomorrow? Have you taken a look at the baseball card?
Oh yeah. So baseball, what I've done in MLB, all I'm looking for is teams in spots that I want. All right. This is what I want. I want Mariners overs, and look at that. You see the ninth inning tonight, 3-2 going to the ninth, 8-5 final. Mariners over,
crazy.
Cubs over. That's my two over teams right now. My bet on teams, Rockies, Padres, Dodgers run line. My bet against teams didn't work tonight. Red Sox, and the Pirates. And that's really where I'm at with MLB. And each day we're adjusting the list and what can we find and what's our best spot to look for this. But that's a handful of things that I'm looking at right out of the gate. Or I should say a weekend. You know,
I got to be careful, and you know this, and you know, I'll give you, let you give people advice on this. But I've been doing well with baseball all week. Suddenly today I leave a couple of baseball winners on the board because I get caught up in the NBA, right? You know, just because the NBA's back, don't go away from something that's working for you.
No argument here. You're preaching the choir.
Yeah. I know. I got suckered in. Oh, the NBA's back. Yeah, it's great. I like the Seattle Mariners tonight. Cashed with them last night as well. I did hit that Twins and Tribe game under, man. That Bieber pitcher is the man. Eddie, sportsmemo.com. Always a pleasure, my man.
Cheers, Gabe. Have a good night.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You're listening to Sports Rage with Gabe Morenci.
Sports Rage Late Night continues. I'm Morenci, 844-843-6879. The NBA is back. And the players took a knee during the national anthem. Thought it was a pretty smart idea and a good idea. It was pretty subtle, actually, of the NBA to have the national anthem on piano only without somebody singing it. It just would have amplified the situation. Yet, let's be real, when I saw all the players kneeling, I couldn't help but think to myself, you know, Kaepernick did this 5 years ago, guys. And not one of you ever had his back over these 5 years. Maybe a tweet here, hashtag that, I don't know, maybe you wore a T-shirt or something like that. But you never really ever had his back. And, like, now kneeling means nothing. You know, like, basically there was a poll. Like, basically 84% of Americans approve of kneeling now. It's like, you want to be a rebel, you got to stand up. You know, like I said, I don't know, like, so I just sort of thought, like, yeah, it's easy to kneel now. Like, it doesn't, no one's sending any message by kneeling anymore. Like, that message is gone. You know, Colin Kaepernick owns that. And all you guys jumped in a little late to the party, guys. You know what I mean? So, like, seriously? You know, so what, 5 years later, now everybody's kneeling. And like I said, it loses its impact, like, as well. It's just, it's expected now. It's expected. It just sort of rings hollow. And, you know, the only reason you guys are doing it, because you sort of have to do it. I mean, you know, the NHL had, like, the Black Lives Matter moment, and they get ripped for it after, because basically they just stood there, at the blue line. But, like, what the hell do you guys want them, you know, what do you want them to do? Like, you know, like, you're at, like, all these leagues have to do something. The MLS guys actually seem to, like, embrace it. They're into it. But I don't know. It just sort of, it rings hollow now. Colin Kaepernick, like, stood up and actually took a knee when, like, people were outraged. Taking a knee now is like, yeah, whatever. Everyone's taking a knee. Good for you. Grandmas are taking a knee. Sports Rage Late Night. Like it.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.